Episode 12, Spider-Verse Prerequisites Part 3, Edge of Spider-Verse. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Comic Book Time Machine. I am Matt Anderson, and here to talk more about Spider-Man and this upcoming big Spider-Man event called Spider-Verse. So in case you're new to the show or new to this event, the Spider-Verse event is going to be covering, it's going to be featuring every Spider-Man that's ever appeared in any of the multiverse-type stories in Marvel history. And so I'm pretty excited about it. So I've been reading some things to get ready for it. And so that's where the prerequisites comes from. And today I'm actually going to be joined by a guest host, a friend, a fellow podcaster. His name is David Hunt. So I'll be introducing him here in a second from a conversation I recorded with him already. So that's already done. And so you'll be hearing that here soon. But just want to give you a quick warning before we dive into that talk. We're going to go all spoilers with a lot of these episodes or a lot of these issues that have come out recently. So I'll tell you specifically the issues that we're going to be talking about, but then just be warned that any issues that have kind of happened around, you know, recently around the time of the release of these issues, that we're going to spoil a lot. So let me talk through this here real quick. So back on Free Comic Book Day, back in May, there was a mini Spider-Verse story in there. So we're going to talk through that. We're going to talk through this mini series that's been going on right now called Learning to Crawl. It's an Amazing Spider-Man mini series. It features maybe a secret origin to a villain that we've never met before. So we'll talk more about that. So we're going to specifically look at the issue 1.3, but we're going to have to talk about 1.1 and 1.2 as well. We have a new Spider-Man 2099 series that just started. So we're going to take a look at issue number one. And then the bulk of our conversation will probably come more from talking about The Amazing Spider-Man and Superior Spider-Man. So Superior Spider-Man was a storyline that ended here earlier this year, but they just released issue number 32, and that is the first official Edge of Spider-Verse issue. So Edge of Spider-Verse is Marvel's official prelude to the Spider-Verse event. So Superior Spider-Man will lead right into that. So we'll talk a lot about that, and then we're also going to be talking about what's happening in the standard Amazing Spider-Man title. So we're going to look specifically at issue number 4, but again, we'll have to touch on things that have happened in 1, 2, and 3 as well. So I think that's all the spoiler warnings that you need. So either read those before you listen, or if you just want to find out what happens, we'll cover it in full. So here we go to a conversation I had with David Hunt. All right, everybody, I'm here joined by David Hunt from the Geek This podcast. Hello, David.
Hello, everyone.
All right, David, before we dive into Spider-Verse, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you, what your podcast is all about.
Yeah, my name is David Hunt. I am on Geek This podcast with Dave Clements and Mike Estreva. You can find this on Facebook. If you just search for Geek This podcast, I think we're the only one that pops up. And we're on iTunes, all that stuff. We just talk about random geeky things. We try to have a different topic every week. And if you like comic books, you like geek stuff, which if you're listening to this, you probably do, then definitely check us out.
Perfect. And the reason I have David here today is because I knew he was a big Spider-Man fan, just like myself. In fact, I had you on one of my other podcasts, The Sci-Fi Christian. You and your co-host Dave were on there, and we talked all about the Superior Spider-Man storyline. So I felt like I need you back here so we can continue on with the Spider-Man talk.
I loved Superior. That was one of my favorite story arcs in a while.
And I'm pretty sure now when we had recorded that episode, had it completed yet or was it just about to conclude?
I don't think it had completely ended.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I'm remembering now. Yeah, because you had read a little bit further than me, and so you were kind of telling me to kind of watch out for a few things that were coming up. So yeah, I really liked that storyline, the Superior Spider-Man in it, and then kind of where we're gonna head today picked up right from where Superior Spider-Man left off, actually.
The only issue of Spider-Verse that's been released so far is the newest issue of Superior, which kind of goes back a little bit. I think they said it takes place right after issue 19 of Superior or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So we can talk more about that here as we get to that. So this episode's going to look a little bit like this. So we've been calling this Spider-Verse prerequisites because these are things you should be reading before the big Spider-Verse event starts. But like you were just mentioning, David, the Superior Spider-Man issue number 32 is the real first official thing that's branded with, well, it's called Edge of Spider-Verse. So it's sort of a prelude to the actual event. And I've heard now that you can just read the Amazing Spider-Man issues and get the full Spider-Verse story, but there'll just be a ton of tie-ins if you want to stick with it. So we're going to talk about, in this episode, we'll talk about the Free Comic Book Day comic that came out back in May. Had a little mini Spider-Verse story. We'll talk a little bit about Learning to Crawl. Not as much, but I just have a few thoughts on that. And David, I'm interested to hear what you feel about that miniseries that's happening. We'll talk a little bit about Spider-Man 2099, but I'm not sure if you agree with me. I've only read one issue, David, but I didn't feel like I had a strong Spider-Verse tie-in quite yet. How about you?
Definitely not yet. I mean, we'll see where they go from here.
But. Yeah. And then where we'll really probably spend a little bit extra time will be when we talk about Amazing Spider-Man, specifically issue number 4 that came out last month, and then Superior Spider-Man number 32, which, as I mentioned, is where things really kick off. So yeah, David, you said you just read the Free Comic Book Day. That came out the longest ago, so let's start there. That came out on May 3rd, 2014. So what did you think about that mini story you just read?
For me, since I read it after I read the Superior number 32, it kind of it brought me into the story more. Like, mm-hmm. Now I understand sort of what's going on. I had no idea who Morlun was, honestly, because I kind of skipped that whole story arc. So when the girl who's an Amazing, which we'll talk about in a minute, when she was talking about Morlun, I had no idea who that was. So that really introduced me to that character.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, this Free Comic Book Day story did serve as a good teaser, but I wonder if it's better read after you get a little bit more background on what exactly is happening, because this story does take place, I'd say, timeline-wise, after Amazing Spider-Man number 4. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe... go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Well, sorry. Okay, this time for real. Okay, I'll start from here first. So I guess I was going to say Amazing Spider-Man 4... shows how Morlun is unleashed again. And I had mentioned in a previous episode here at the Comic Book Time Machine that Morlun died. Well, I saw him die once in a few issues I was reading to prepare for Spider-Verse. But Amazing Spider-Man number 4 that just came out here last month basically said straight out that he had come back after that death, but then died again. And so David, I had speculated that maybe this Morlun was from an alternate universe and that's how he's, or maybe even why he's traveling the multiverse to kill Spider-Man. But it seems like maybe they will be sticking with the original 616 Morlun. I'm still not positive about that, but you had said, so you never read anything with him before?
No, I really knew very little, almost nothing about the character.
Yeah, from what I can tell, I mean, and I've only read 6 issues with him, and it all led up to his first death. It just seems to be like a villain that saps the power of heroes, but not just spider heroes. He was going around killing lots of different heroes. So in the original time I saw him, it kind of has a Dracula feel, sort of a vampire, sucking the blood life out of somebody, or lifeblood, I should say. Yeah, I mean, and then in this Free Comic Book Day, we see, let's see, I have it right here in front of me. It is an alternate universe, of course, where looks like it's sort of an old-timey type thing, like almost during the times of where Shakespeare was writing his plays and people were performing them live. And Spider-Man, it looks like, is a live stage performer instead of a wrestler at this time.
Yeah, it's like the, I think it's the 1602 version, is I think what they call it. So it's supposed to take place in the 1600s.
Oh, that's
something
awesome.
Like that.
I didn't know. Okay, so I've heard of that. In fact, I have read that miniseries 1602, but I must have forgot. So this is the 1602 Spider-Man.
Mm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, the one on the Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, that's awesome. I knew it was an old-timey type Spider-Man, but I didn't put it together that it was from that miniseries.
Yeah, and one of the great things about Spider-Verse is they're saying they're going to be tying it into a lot of Spider-Man that we might have seen in, like, miniseries and things like that and the What If books. So that's going to be exciting.
So, like I said, this is a pretty short story, but essentially Morlun attacks this, I guess now we know, 1602 Spider-Man and kills him. I mean, he is dead. And Morlun leaves by saying, here, let me just read his last lines here on the last page. The great spirit that dwells within you, all its power, all your potential, everything you are, were, and could have been is now mine, he yells. And still it is not enough. The great hunt continues. The feast of thousands goes on, but it shall be over soon enough. It's been foretold all of your threads in the web shall be severed, and soon, very soon, all the spiders shall die. And then Morlun disappears into sort of almost a web-like portal, and I think we can assume he's just traveling the multiverse to find another Spider-Man. So you like this story then?
Yeah, I thought it was a great introduction to Morlun and Spider-Verse as a whole. But I agree with you that it almost feels better read after after the amazing issue that just came out.
Yeah. Tell us what you've been thinking about learning to crawl, because this is, I mean, I'm not positive why it exists yet, but it's numbered like this, Amazing Spider-Man issue 1.1, 1.2, and I've read through 1.3. I'm not sure if 1.4 has come out yet as of now, but it takes place during the early days of Spider-Man. I believe it's between Amazing Fantasy number 15 and the original Amazing Spider-Man 1. Is that what you understand?
Yeah, parts of it read really like an origin story almost, because it does take place like way back then, because Peter's still young. He's still, just like the title says, learning to crawl.
Yeah, and we are introduced, I think, in a lot of ways, it feels like the origin story for this villain named Clash. There's a guy named Clayton Cole. Is that his name, Clayton Cole? I think that's right.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and so he's a kid about Peter's age, and he was a huge fan of Spider-Man. He actually... Okay, now here's where there's some differences. You know, Spider-Man originally came out in the 60s, but in this story, Learning to Crawl, there's a lot of modern technology. So Clayton actually filmed Spider-Man, I think just with his phone, doing the wrestling, and then put that on YouTube, which is what made Spider-Man famous in this version. And it got me wondering, and I don't know if you thought about this, David, but I'm wondering if Learning to Crawl is actually taking place in another alternate timeline. Like, maybe this isn't... Like, we've been told that this is just a untold story from the 616, but what if it's actually from a parallel universe, and so that's where the Spider-Verse tie-in is?
You know, I had not even thought of that, but that's genius.
Because this character, Clash, which I think, I mean, like I said, this is a villain, but this Clash character is pretty awesome. And why would we have never heard of this character all these years when his origin is so rooted in his hatred for Spider-Man? What do you think about Clash?
I like him. I like the fact that he starts out like he wants to be a hero. You know, he looks up to Spider-Man. He wants to be just like Spider-Man. But then this version of Peter Parker kind of blows him off.
Mm-hmm.
Takes his money and leaves him webbed up, and that sort of, he develops this hate for Spider-Man because of that.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, Peter creates his own villain here, and I mean, the artwork in this is awesome, but it's definitely got the old classic Marvel feel to it, so that they went out of their way to make it feel like it was from the 60s. But yeah, so I've been a fan of this. I picked up the first issue not expecting much, and I've bought every issue since, just because I've thought it was so good. So, yeah, and there's only four parts to this miniseries, so we're heading towards a conclusion here this month. And then you want to, if you don't have anything else about that, we could head into Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah, sounds great.
What do you think about that?
It's still early in the series and starting off kind of slow, I think. I don't really care for much for the 2099 Spider-Man. He's probably one of my least favorite, just because it. I don't know. The story doesn't feel very thick to me. But then again, I haven't read all of the old 2099 issues, so maybe that's just my lack of knowledge on the character.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't read anything from the 90s when 2099 originally came out. And I have... So, basically, my first exposure to Miguel O'Hara, or however you say his name, from the Spider-Man of 2099, was in Superior Spider-Man. That's the first time I ever read that character. And liked him fine there. He got stuck in modern day, which they do refer to as 2014. I always think it's funny when they actually give the year, because time moves so differently in the Marvel Universe. But, yeah, so... Right. Spider-Man of 2099 is stuck in 2014 and kind of living out his life here, still just trying to figure out a way to get back to his time period. So yeah, this book, Spider-Man 2099, that we're reading right, or talking about right now, issue one came out in July 2014. So pretty recent. I haven't read the second issue yet. Have you?
I have.
Without spoiling, is the first one, you know, starts off with this storyline where basically a time police officer, somebody who's trying to save the timeline for being messed up, comes to kill Miguel because he's out of his time period. So does it kind of continue with that type of story?
Yeah, it definitely continues with that. Because of this whole thing, his boss is trying to figure out who Spider-Man 2099 is. She just knows it's another Spider-Man. She doesn't realize it's from the future or anything, but... she's sort of figuring out how he's Spider-Man. I don't want to ruin that for anybody, yeah. But yeah, she's on his back.
Okay. Yeah, and I believe his boss is Liz Allen. So she runs Alchemax, and she was once in a relationship with Harry Osborn. So that she has Harry's son. Harry's dead though now, right? I think. Is Harry dead in current Spider-Man stories?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm not positive.
Yeah.
So Norman Osborn's grandson,
even if he is, he won't stay dead long, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Norman Osborn's grandson is her son, Normie. So I don't think he appeared in this issue, but he's around there, I'm sure. So yeah, so I kind of agree with you. It was good. I mean, I liked it fine. I'll continue reading it because I'm preparing for Spider-Verse, but of the ones that we're talking about today, it's probably my least favorite.
Yeah, and it might just be because I don't really know a lot about the character, but I definitely agree. But it's issue two, so it could get better.
Yeah. All right. Let's save Superior Spider-Man as a grand finale. So let's go to how have you been feeling about the Amazing Spider-Man run since Superior Spider-Man storyline ended? I've read four issues, and you said you read all the way through the fifth issue. So we're basically kind of focusing in today on the issues that came out in July 2014, except for that free comic book day. So, yeah, what do you think so far of The Amazing Spider-Man 1 through 5?
I like it. I like it a lot. I mean, if you just started with Amazing without reading Superior, you might be a little bit lost.
Yeah.
Because it takes place after Peter gets his body back, after Doc Ock is like, okay, I'm going to be a real hero. Here you go, Peter. Come back. And he's sort of dealing with the aftermath of that in a lot of this. So if you want to check out Amazing, I definitely suggest checking out Superior beforehand.
I definitely agree because for me, I didn't really start reading modern Spider-Man until Superior. And then since then, I went back and I've read some of the storylines that led up to Superior. But yeah, having read Superior in full, I feel prepared now to read Amazing Spider-Man as it exists right now. I'd be completely lost if I hadn't read that because, well, what you said is exactly right. He's dealing with the ramifications of what happened in that storyline. And, I mean, it's crazy that he doesn't remember anything that Otto did while in his body. So he's trying to catch up basically in every issue on what's been going on. And, yeah. And four in particular, this is where I feel like we really start heading towards Spider-Verse, although there have been little hints. The first opening pages of every issue, starting with one, had some hints about this female who was unknown at the time. Now in number four, we got a chance to see her, but we learned that when Peter was originally bitten by the spider, someone else was also bitten by the spider, a girl in his class, or maybe just a girl at wherever they were, the museum or whatever. We then later find out that she's been kept in hiding in a bunker and that the person behind that was Ezekiel. Now, David, have you seen this character Ezekiel before?
Yeah, I've heard of Ezekiel. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I know who he is.
He appears in the first, or in the storyline where Moreland first appears. So those two characters really seem to be interconnected. I've read him minimally, but again, just recently in preparation for this upcoming storyline. So I don't know. I haven't seen the complete story with him. I know there's more comics where he appeared after I was, or after what I've read. But in what I've seen so far, he's not necessarily a bad guy. He does seem to be. He's mysterious, and we don't always know what his motivations are. But I think in general he's sort of on Peter's side from what I've seen so far. That definitely could have been I guess it could have been proven wrong from in comics I haven't read yet, but so far I'm kind of okay with Ezekiel. So it seems like he was trying to keep this girl safe, hiding her from somebody. We didn't know who until issue 4, and then it turns out here in the issue we read last month that the person he's hiding the girl from is Moreland.
Yeah, I guess the room that he's locked her in, well, not really locked her in because she knows the code, so she could technically leave any time. But the room that he's, like, kept her in is has, like, a safety wall where Moreland can't sense her or something like that.
Yeah. And so how Peter finds out about her, it's basically a tie-in to the original Sin storyline. That's the big event for summer 2014. I haven't actually read Original Sin. Have you been reading that, David?
I read the first issue of the Original Sin miniseries. That's the only thing I've read on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, besides Amazing.
Yeah. Just from what I gathered in Amazing number 4, looks like some character was able to unlock past secrets. And so all of a sudden, in just a quick moment, Peter was given all these, basically downloaded all these memories of the girl that got bit. Then he knew Ezekiel had hit her away. What's her first name? Is it Cindy? No, that's not right.
Yeah, it's Cindy.
Cindy, last name is Moon. So Cindy Moon is her name, but she goes by her hero name, Silk, also. She's got a different variation on the spider powers. It looks like she can... Now, it's, you know, like I said, Peter's just getting all these memories all at once. She can shoot webs out of her fingers. I guess we can talk more about her powers as we see her more, but... Anyway, so then Peter finds out this girl exists. He knows right where to go because in some of the issues that I had read already, Ezekiel did offer to let Spider-Man hide from Moreland in these same bunkers. So he knew exactly where to go because of that. Then when Spider-Man frees her, she freaks out because she knows she's there to be safe. As soon as the door is opened, she's mad and she says, "You," and she swears, "You idiot, you've killed us all." And then we flash to, we're just told, far, far away. And we see Moreland for the first time, and he refers to Silk as the Spider Bride. He says, "There you are, the spinner at the center of the web. It's time. The great hunt begins. From this moment on, from this moment on, let all hell break loose." And so now that I believe this is where Moreland now starts traveling the multiverse, but I'm still not positive if this is a Moreland that's living on the Earth where Silk and Spider-Man are, or if he's in a parallel dimension, because I mean, if he lived in the 616, wouldn't he just come straight to her instead of traveling the multiverse to get to her?
Well, I mean, if it's the Great Hunt, then maybe he has to like collect the spider powers from all the others before he feels like he can take them on.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. So do you think that the 616 version of Spider-Man is one of the most powerful in the multiverse?
I would say that, but that might be favoritism.
Yeah, exactly. So talk a little bit about your first impressions of Silk. You saw her in action, you saw her powers. What do you remember about how her powers were different?
For one, Peter has to use the like web shooters that he's developed, where Silk does have those, like the silk that comes out of her fingers naturally. And so the fact that they were bitten by the same spider but have the different powers like that kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah, and she actually makes her costume out of her webbing. So she's just basically ready to go at any time because she doesn't have to carry a costume around. She just uses her webbing for it. She is faster than Peter, but not as strong is what we're told. And I think her spider sense works better. Is that correct?
Yeah. When they were in a predicament, she was like, "Hey, we need to get out of here." And he's like, "Why?" And then 5 minutes later, he's like, "Oh, there's my spider sense."
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we haven't talked a lot about this, but in Amazing Spider-Man, since it got relaunched, Black Cat and Electro have both been featured prominently, and they're both mad because of what Otto did while in Spider-Man's body, but they're now focusing that anger on the current Spider-Man because they don't know the difference. And so Black Cat is kind of causing a ruckus. I probably won't go into that too much because I'm not sure how that will tie into Spider-Verse exactly, but I guess it's just for the audience to know that those two characters are around. And then the end of issue 4, I mean, I don't really know the explanation to this, and you've read issue 5, so maybe you know a little bit more. It seems to me that for some reason, maybe the spider bite that they both shared draws them to each other because they're sort of fighting or just disagreeing, and then out of nowhere, they start making out.
It's kind of random.
Yeah, like the issue just ends. It's like they're about to punch each other, and then they kiss instead. And yeah, to me, it just feels like there's some sort of something is drawing them to each other. Maybe more chemical than actually intellectual.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to how they were bitten by the same spider. And I hadn't read the whole storyline before with the current villain. But from what I've read in that storyline, they tried to describe it as the spider decided who he wanted to bite.
Yeah.
Because it was like a spider totem or something like that.
Yeah, that was JMS, who is also the writer for Babylon 5. He had this whole idea that instead of focusing so much on the science side and having this radiated spider passing out his powers, what if there was more of like, and I haven't read this series or this run all the way through, but yeah, like you said, what if it was more like a totem, totemistic? So it was more like there was almost a spider entity that chose to pass on these powers to Peter. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like in some ways they've forgotten about that and moved away from it, but maybe Dan Slott, the current writer, wants to go back into that.
And that's one thing. If the spider chose who he was going to bite to pass that on, then if he bit both of them, then that might be what's like bringing them together.
Yeah, that could definitely be. And I'm excited to read issue 5 and see kind of where this continues. And if I'm not mistaken, I think issue 6 is where Spider-Verse starts in, it, like, officially. Is that right? I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure it's issue 6.
I'm not sure. I don't think it's that soon, because I feel like it doesn't actually start until October-ish.
Yeah.
But I might be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, it's coming up soon anyways. Yeah, you're probably right, because, let's see, we just had 4 in July, so 5 is in August, 6 is in September, and like you said, it's either October or November it comes out. So yeah, it's a little bit down the road still. So, all right, let's get to go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I know that this whole, like, Edge of Spider-Verse continues. There's, like, a mini-series, I think, that's going to come out starting in September. But that's like, another prelude type thing.
Yeah, are you planning on picking those up?
I'm thinking about it, you know. It seems like it's going to be a good story, so it will end up getting them.
Yeah, if you pick those up, maybe I'll get you back on so we can talk about those, because this is an interesting miniseries, because every individual issue is telling its own Spider-Man story from a different parallel universe. I'm guessing Moreland will be involved, and I think some will live and some will die, and whoever lives will be a part of the overall big spider war that's coming up. So yeah, I might have mentioned this to you when you're on the Sci-Fi Christian, but Spider-Man is just my top hero, and I love parallel universe stories, so everything about this storyline is perfect for me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun just to see all the different Spider-Man reacting with each other. I'm curious to see if they like how they can bring in the Ultimate Spider-Man, because I, for one, enjoy the Ultimate Universe. So I hope they can bring him in and use him substantially.
Hey, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've been reading Ultimate Spider-Man in the trades, and so I've read through the 5th trade, but nothing after that. And so where I left off is they're heading into the Cataclysm event that happened last year. So, I don't want to be totally spoiled, but has there been anything in the Ultimate Universe that's been hinting at the Spider-Verse event?
No, nothing at all.
Okay.
There's a lot of other stuff going on that I won't spoil for you, but yeah, it doesn't look like there's going to be anything. And from looking at this event, I'm not seeing that the actual Ultimate title will tie in at all. But I do hope they bring him in there because he is kind of an important Spider-Man, even if you don't follow the Ultimate. I mean, he has his own title, so.
I love that character, Miles Morales.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Yeah, did you notice, I'm not sure if you've just seen in other comics, but the old new X-Men, the, you know, the out-of-time original X-Men just traveled to the Ultimate Universe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't read it. I just saw the cover. But I think they're going to interact with Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, that could be good. Honestly, I thought after Cataclysm that they were going to end the Ultimate Universe. Because it really seemed like they were leaning towards that.
Yeah.
But then they didn't, so.
I've heard that a lot because, you know, Ultimatum, people at first thought that's what was going to happen after Ultimatum. And then Cataclysm, it almost seemed like this is definitely what they're going to do. Their, you know, Ultimate Universe has lost some steam. It's just as convoluted now as the 616. And so they'll just end it and make Miles Morales move over to 616. So I'm surprised it's still going. But if I'm not mistaken, I think they only have 3 or 4 active titles right now. So it's not that big of a line at this point.
Yeah, I think they've always only had a couple of titles going in at a time. And usually when they cancel one, they start a new one. I know right now they have the Spider-Man and I think like a young Avengers type title.
Yeah, and he's in that group, right?
Yeah.
Have you read that? That looks good.
I haven't read that one at all, no.
So a lot of those characters appeared in the fifth volume of Ultimate Spider-Man. And I really liked them as a team. And so, Spider-Woman, Jessica Drew from the Ultimate Universe, she's going to be a big part of Spider-Verse as well.
Oh, well, maybe that'll be how it all ties in. Like, maybe she'll be the spokesperson for the Ultimate Universe.
I don't know what you've heard about Spider-Verse so far. Were you ever a fan of Ben Reilly, the clone of Spider-Man?
I think he's okay. I read part of the Scarlet Spider series back when that was going on before the Marvel Now reboot.
Oh, yeah, with Kane?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so
sorry, I'm talking about a different Spider-Man.
No, that's totally fine. Kane,
there's so many of them.
And Ben Reilly are both Spider clones, so you're on the right track. Yeah, I was going to bring up, and I mentioned this in the last episode I recorded here, but Spider-Woman from the Ultimate Universe is going to be teaming up with an alternate version of the clone of Spider-Man, Ben Reilly, and then they're also going to team up with Kane. So those three together are going to have a mini-series during Spider-Verse.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, that's cool. This a little bit late to ask you this question, but I mean, I can really tell that you've been a longtime fan of Spider-Man. How did you first get into this character?
I have no idea. I don't remember the first time I really latched onto Spider-Man. Probably some of my youngest memories, probably the Spider-Man animated series.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Yeah, I mean, back then, it was the 90s. I was really young because I was just born in 89. So in the 90s, I had like the Batman animated series, Spider-Man, X-Men, all those things. And that's what really got me into the comic books.
How would you rank them as when it comes to your favorite heroes? Is he the top or who's kind of give me your top three?
Are we just talking Marvel or overall?
Overall.
Okay. My top is probably going to be Thor, with Green Lantern, number two, and then probably Spider-Man right underneath that.
Okay, that's good. And fun fact, I'm not sure if you even know this. I think we might have mentioned it to each other on Facebook before, but I think you and I have the exact same wedding anniversary. I think we got married on the exact same day, right? Are you August 9th?
August 10th.
Oh, rats. Okay, I got married on August 9th, 2013, and you are?
Yeah, just the day after.
Yeah, August 10th, 2013, right. Oh, man, all this time I thought we shared the same wedding anniversary.
Yeah, I saw on Facebook that your anniversary was the day before. I thought that was kind of neat. I honestly didn't know.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's enough outside the comics. Let's go back to the grand finale of this episode. Edge of Spider-Verse kicks off with what do they call it here? It begins with this oversized spectacular, the Superior Spider-Man 32. Now, this was a shock when I heard this announced because 31 was the end of that storyline. We're doing all spoilers here, so we'll just say Otto dies. I mean, he he lets Peter take the body back over. So his mind and basically his whole entity, his existence is erased. So how could there be this number 32? And David, why don't you tell people how that happened?
Well, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, but it goes back to several months earlier, right around Superior 19, which really, it's the only way they could have done it, because if they tried to continue after the last issue of Superior, then that wouldn't work, because he's dead, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they really had a good way of tying Superior into it. And I wonder how much like time travel type things are going to be using for the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, because I do remember in this issue of Superior 19, where for like a day, Otto or Superior Spider-Man disappeared, and it was time related, some sort of time bomb. And, you know, he came back and he said he didn't remember where he was. And I didn't really think a lot about it. In fact, I mean, Spider-Verse wasn't on my radar at that point, so I never imagined they'd bring this character back. And so, yeah, I had forgotten this even happened, but it is sort of, even though it's a little bit of a cheat when it comes to using time travel, it's a perfect way to bring back Otto in the Spider-Man body.
Yeah. And honestly, if you think about it, if they did that knowingly about Spider-Verse, I mean, that was issue 19. So 31 was the last issue of Superior, and that came out a few months ago now. So the fact that if they were planning this all the way back in issue 19, I mean, this has to be good if they've been planning it for this long.
You know, I think they have been planning it. Actually, I remember reading in an interview, Dan Slott's had this in mind for years, and I think they were going to do it earlier, but then they decided to go the Superior route instead. Yeah, so this idea, they've been planting seeds for it for quite a while, I believe. So I have the issue here in front of me. I'll just kind of flip through, and then we can kind of talk about it back and forth a little bit. But it just opens, bringing us back to issue 19, and we see, I'll just keep calling him Otto, but when I say that, I'm talking about the Superior Spider-Man. So Otto is going through a time vortex where he's seen about a bunch of different alternate universes. So I'm seeing there's Days of Future Past. Looks like, yeah, there's 1602. I think he's seen a little bit of Ultimate, possibly. So he ends up, though, in the year 2099. So is 2099 considered an alternate universe, or is it considered the future of 616?
I think it's a little bit of both, because with 616, things change so often that I think 2099 might be like the future of what's going on in 616 right now. But with things changing, there might be multiple 2099 universes.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. So then Otto shows up in 2099, and he decides that since their universe was robbed of their Spider-Man by him being sent to 2014, I think he says like the universe abhors a vacuum, or nature abhors a vacuum. So it put him there to kind of replace Miguel. And I'm just going to be honest. At first I was a little bit bored with the 2099 stuff where he was being chased around, and I was getting a little worried at first, and then it really picks up. But some of this early stuff, it did help me understand the 2099 character a little bit, because I read this before issue one of his book. And mm-hmm. So it was good to know that he has that almost like an AI that he can work with. So Otto has one that he made look like Anna Maria, and then Miguel has one, and I can't remember who she is. But yeah, so what, I mean, did you feel the same way? Or did you like this early stuff in the future?
I thought it was okay. I mean, I haven't really read a whole lot of the 2099, but I don't know. It was okay. It honestly, the beginning of the book kind of felt a little slow. I was happy to have Otto back, because mm-hmm. I didn't expect to be reading anything with him in it again. But really, it doesn't pick up until about halfway through the book when he creates the time portal, but the portal through the universes.
Yeah, well, he is trying to create a time portal so he can get back home. But you're right, he ends up creating more of a bridge between parallel universes. And so he figures this out when he shows up at the scene of some sort of villain attack, and he finds a Spider-Man dead. And so that's when he realizes he's in a parallel timeline. And then we see him, let's see, he goes to, oh, no, no, this is interesting. All of the Spider-Men have a similar injury to their chest. So like two holes right through their chest. So he finds this one that was part of the Fantastic Four, but he had a, the Spider-Man had a five on him. So they must've been the Fantastic Five here. Then we see him going to a bunch of different places. So he goes to the House of M universe, which it's interesting, you know, and the House of M, Spider-Man's dead. But it's interesting that that universe exists because, have you read House of M?
A long time ago.
Right. That's not an alternate timeline. That was Scarlet Witch, through her powers, basically distorted everybody's memories and made them think they were living in this House of M timeline. But I think it existed in the 616 in a sense. But anyways, whatever you want to think about that, we see the House of M Spider-Man dead. We see an Iron Spider-Man or an Iron Spider dead. And in this place, it looks like in this parallel universe, Civil War went forward and Iron Man is still in charge there. We see, I'm not sure what this one, I'm kind of flipping through the pages here. I see a silver one. I'm not sure. Almost looks metallic. I don't know what happened there, but
like a, like an Iron Man type spider suit. Yeah. Almost.
But yeah, but either way, Otto realizes that there's a distinctive weapon that's killing all of these different Spider-Men. So now his priorities have actually changed. So instead of wanting to go back to 2014 to his own timeline, now he is traveling around trying to save the Spider-Man. And so I love this. So what did you think about that?
Yeah, I thought that was really neat because he realizes that, well, if I do nothing, eventually this guy's going to come for me.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, that's when he's like, yeah, I need to start bringing us together so maybe we can take this guy on.
Yeah, I love it. I this is where it just started to get to be awesome for me. So then he, let's see if I, let me see if there's any interesting quotes here. Okay, he says, I'm beginning to think I'm not the only one with the ability to visit other timelines. Prepare for another jump. This time, if we find another dead Spider-Man, we will be collecting detailed information about the killer's energy signature and his rather distinctive weapon. So right there, it cuts then to a Spider-Man who, I think this one takes place in India. So this, yeah, this Spider-Man's from India. And but the person with the weapon chasing this alternate Spider-Man is not Morlun, from what I mean, unless it, well, I guess it could be, but he's wearing a crazy helmet. Do you have any idea who this character is?
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research before we started, and it's a character that I've never heard of, but I don't remember his name. It's real short, like Zark or Zork or something like that.
Okay, yeah. They haven't revealed the character's name yet, so I guess I won't talk about it here. But, I mean, so that's good to know. It is somebody who exists in Spider-Man lore. So looks like the Spider-Man from India is about to die, but Otto shows up and saves the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Spider-Man doesn't die. Lucky him.
Yeah, so that's good. So he, Otto brings this Spider-Man over through the time, or through the portal, and he's saying, so then the guy from India is saying, thank you for saving me, sir. And I'm honored to be the first in what I hope will be a very large and powerful band of warriors. And Otto says, first. And then the next big splash page, Otto says, who said you were the first? And we see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, counting Otto, Spider-Man all together. And I love this.
Yeah, well, and one of the great things that I like about this page is you see the Spider-Man Noir on there.
Yeah. And I haven't read him. Have you read that?
I read a little bit of it, but he's an interesting character. Takes place back late in like the 1930s. So
I actually got that from the library. I'm pumped to read it. Maybe I'll read it today after we're done recording. So I don't recognize all these characters, but I'll describe them. So we've got Spider-Man Noir. We've got a smaller Spider-Man who looks like he has a tail. So that's weird. Then there's the Spider-Man from India. There's a Spider-Man who has three arms on each side, so eight-legged, counting his legs. There's a woman spider person, but not a spider woman that we recognize. And then, oh man, the coolest one, who at first, nothing special, you just see him, but he kind of looks 90s-ish with the belt and the pouches and all that stuff, but then the next page is his origin story. Before I go there, though, I just wanted to say this. The character whose name we don't know, the short name, though, that you'd mentioned, he says, after Otto and the Spider-Man from India travel through the portal, he says, "Gone. I can feel it. I must find them or I will have proved the others right." So, the others. Now, I thought maybe just Morlun was the one that was hunting everybody, but what if there's a band of villains as well hunting the Spider-Man?
Yeah. Yeah, like, what if it's not just those two, and they have friends? And you were saying that what if the Morlun was from a different universe?
Yeah.
Now, what if they have different people who are like Morlun from different universes? What if this guy that you don't really know his name, what if he's just like an alternate universe version of Morlun?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I do really hope, though, going back to what we were saying earlier, I hope that learning to crawl plays a bigger role than it appears right now. I hope that something that happens in there is going to lead into Spider-Verse. I'd love it if that Clash character jumped in with the 616. So let's turn the page here. So then we get this story of an alternate Peter Parker. This is the one I was talking about with the 90s look, the pouches. So in his story, things are going along fine. But then after Gwen is murdered, he decides that, oh, here's what he says. "With great power comes great responsibility and greater enemies, the kind who don't show mercy. I could either watch them kill the people I loved or admit I'm at war and start acting like it." So he becomes not a villain, but he's okay with murder, this version of Spider-Man. He gets trained by Wolverine, and he's pretty awesome. Like, when we start seeing him in battle, it's not that I don't necessarily always like anti-heroes, but he's definitely an anti-hero Spider-Man.
Yeah, one of his big lines is like, "I'm not the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man anymore."
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then in his, this is just a mini story, kind of telling his origin. We see that same character with the helmet that we were just talking about earlier. Let's just call him Zor, but that's probably, you said that's probably not right.
I found it here. It's like, I had it on the page and then I went to another one.
No, you find it and I'll tell you what's happening. So that character with the weapon stabs Wolverine and disintegrates Wolverine, leaving only his adamantium skeleton. So this guy's definitely powerful. Then this version of Spider-Man has a girlfriend named Alex, and she comes in. She's sort of a, looks like fighter as well, has some guns. She's going to help fight this guy. But then Otto shows up. So do you got the name of this guy?
Karn.
How do you spell that?
K-A-R-N.
So Karn chases this version of Spider-Man out a window, but Otto shows up to kind of save the day. Otto convinces this alternate Spider-Man then to leave the battle with Karn and come with him through the portal. He doesn't want to leave his girlfriend, Alex, but Otto's convincing him that this villain will kill him and his friends if he doesn't help him in his army. And yeah, so this alternate version of Spider-Man decides to join, and I thought this character was awesome. I mean, everything about Spider-Verse so far has been great for me, but I don't want to keep on giving all this gushing over it. Do you agree with me, or am I just like in a haze of happiness?
No, I completely agree with you. I think it's just great how they're bringing them all together.
Yeah.
And I can't wait until it gets further into the story. Now, my big question is Superior going to stick around? Like, I think they've only announced like one more issue of Superior Spider-Man.
Yes, that's the same thing I've heard. I only know it will go through 33. I don't know what will happen after that.
Yeah, so honestly, the biggest thing that I'm seeing from this is like, I hope with this whole Spider-Verse thing, they figure out a way to keep Otto around.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I really like Otto. But I found, though, as I've read other things like Superior Spider-Man Team Up or Mighty Avengers, where he plays a role, I really like it when Dan Slott writes the voice, but I don't like it as much when other people write Otto, because it's a weird balance between he is kind of a jerk, but he also wants to be a hero. But most writers just make him flat out a jerk, and he's not that. He has a good side to him, which we really see in the Superior Spider-Man story. So anyways, that this whole big giant size issue ends with the pouch version of Spider-Man saying, "You promise we're going to kill it," talking about Karn, and Otto says, "That horror will die, or we all will. Then sign me up." And so that's the interaction, and that's the end of this first Edge of Spider-Verse issue. So, man, I'm so pumped, David.
Yeah, Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a good time.
So, give me some closing thoughts, and then I'll leave people with how they can find us next.
Spider-Verse, a good introduction with Superior. Can't wait to see what they do with all the books, and I hope that I start enjoying 2099 more.
Nice. And I said this at the beginning, but I'll just say it again. The reason this episode exists is if you haven't been reading Spider-Man, you can listen to us and now feel comfortable jumping in from here. So we've kind of spoiled everything for you, but you can either go back and read it for yourself or you can just join in with us right now. I want you to be prepared for the Spider-Verse event and really be able to dive in. So in light of that, then next month, I'll be looking at whichever Spider-Verse titles come out, if it's amazing. I know that there are some Edge of Spider-Verse things coming out here soon. So that's what I plan to record about in the future. And maybe, David, if you have some time, we can get you back on here.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Perfect. Well, that's all I've got here. So, yeah, I guess I can let you go. But again, thanks so much. And why don't you tell people one more time where they can find you?
Yep. You can find me on Geek This Podcast on Facebook and on iTunes. And I think Dave has us on a ton of different websites. So we have an actual website, the geekthispodcast.com. But I'm not sure how up to date it is. So just check us out on Facebook.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for joining us here today. As always, you can find us at comicbooktimemachine.com. You can also email us any feedback you have at feedback@comicbooktimemachine.com. Just to give you a little taste of what's coming up here with the Spider-Verse prerequisites, I'm going to be looking at Spider-Man Noir next. I just had a chance to read two volumes of that series that came out not too long ago, so we'll talk about that, and I'm going to try to do some research before I record that episode to see what else has been out there that maybe I should read before we talk about that character. And coming up on our next group conversation, I'm not positive when this is all going to be released, but I think that this episode will come out before the next group conversation that myself and Ben and Daniel have together. So you can watch for us to discuss our top favorite Batman storylines in that upcoming issue. So watch for that here soon. But again, if you have any Spider-Verse prerequisites you think I should know about that you want me to cover here on the show, let me know. Again, it's at feedback@comicbooktimemachine.com, or you can always comment on the website. I think that's all from here. So thanks so much for joining me. I'm Matt Anderson, signing off.